that's open our Bibles to Matthew. Matthew's verse. Matthew's verse, which for the Lord. Read from verse 24, 25 to 34. Your dear peace, you can help us.
Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What do you need for those who are not about your life? What do you need? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the cross of the earth. For the neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns.
Father, as we gather this morning to hear your word, we ask your God to give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the heart to hear. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Easy. Worry lives in us. Praise God. As humans, we worry. But here is our Lord, our Savior, our God, our provider. The one who sustains us, who keeps us. Here, telling us not to worry. And this morning, we want to look at why should we say we should not worry in this world of uncertainty, where I can hardly pay my children's school fees. Where I can hardly feed my family. Why is Christ saying I shouldn't worry? That's what we want to take a look at this morning as our time is passing. But with this little time that is given to me, let's first of all look at that verse 25. Every human being, permit me to say, knows one kind of worry.
Especially around us, we see so many things. There is brokenness, there is financial distress, there is poverty everywhere. And yet the Lord is saying, don't worry. Why should I not be worried? Why should I not be anxious? As a Christian, he is not talking to unbelievers. Unbelievers can worry. Unbelievers can be anxious. They can be desperate to get whatever they want. But as a Christian, as a believer, Jesus is telling us not to do what? Not to worry. And the question still remains, why should I not worry? Verse 25, he says, this is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, or the body more than clothing? Amen. Life is more than food. Life is more than clothing. How? The God who creates you and I, who knows our length of ability, who knows what we want, who knows how we can get that thing, is the one telling us not to worry. Knowing that everything he creates it for our own good. He puts them in places. The birds that flies in the air, the flowers of the field, he creates them all. And if he can feed the birds, if he can clothe the flowers of the field, how much more? We are the superior great creation. He made you and I in his image. He knows what is good for you. He knows what is good for me. He knows what is right for you, and he knows what is right for me. And in his own time, the Bible says he makes all things what? Beautiful. When we worry, worry is like doubting him. When we worry, worry is like limiting him. When we worry, worry is like God cannot do this thing, or God does not want me to have this thing. When he knows I need this thing to do this, I need money to feed my family, when he knows I need to clothe my children, when he knows I have to pay my house rent, when he knows I have so many bills to pay, I have families to take care of. But he always knows how to carry us, even in difficulties, even in distress. And that's why he says in the book of John 14, he says, let not your heart be what? Be troubled. If you believe in the Father, believe also in me. He knows that things like this will come. We will have needs. We will have things that will give us concern. And permit me to see that if we are concerned, it's good to be concerned. But when it comes to worry, worry brings fear. And when fear comes, we begin to doubt God. We begin to limit God. The book of 1 Kings that we read as our Bible reading this morning, we saw what happened to Elijah. He ran away because of the threat of Jezebel. And there in the desert, there is no food, there is no water. But we saw what God did. to tell him that he's able, to tell us that he's able to take care of us in whatever need that we have, in whatever problem that we have, that he's able to take care of us, even if that thing is at the age of taking our life, he still remains God. Like we said this morning, he is still faithful to his word. That he will say, that he, which he says, he will do. And he will bring it to pass. When you worry, don't forget that when you worry, worry cannot add a single dime to your bank account. Worry will not pay your assets. Worry will not make your children to get better. Worry will not bring back maybe the somebody that you have lost. Worry cannot bring back that. Christ, knowing all this, and he calls us into order to guide our minds that we should not worry. As we look at why he says we should not worry, we also I closed the flowers of the field. And he went on to tell us that even Solomon was the richest king in Israel. With all his luxuries, could not be compared with these flowers that you will see today and tomorrow they will grow up. How much more you and I that trust in him, that looks unto him for our daily needs. Will he forsake us? Will he leave us alone on our own? Say, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I remain your God. I will help you. Jesus, seeing how little our faith is, in verse 30 of the Matthew 6 that we have read, he said, O you of little faith. Our faith becomes so little that in our worry, we forget who God is. In our worry, we limit him. We begin to question him. Why me? Why do you allow this to happen to me? Why am I going through all these sufferings? Worry begins to make us to have so many doubts in our mind. When we worry, our prayer life will change. We cannot pray according to God's will when we are worried. It is very certain. Because I remember where I was coming from, where I came from. We can pray one particular prayer for 1 year, because of one particular thing that has happened. Why? Because our mind is disturbed. We are worried, we are troubled. And instead of us just handing over that situation to God and believing him for what he will do, if he doesn't do it, we still trust him. God must do what? God must do it in our own time. Permit me to ask you a question. If God doesn't bring to pass what you are asking him for, in your life, does he still remain God? If he is not still God, even at that moment, even at that point, where it seems like all hope is lost, if you don't still maintain, see him as God, even at that situation, it means your faith is weak. It means my faith is weak. Because in every situation, like Paul would say, he said, in all things, do what? Give thanks. Give him glory, for he knows the best. He sees you, I mean, he knows you more than you know yourself. He knows me more than I know myself. We can't run from it. we have to live with it. Because we have a Father up there who knows us, who sees us, who hears us, who understands us, who have a better plan for us more than we have for ourselves. And so he tells us, don't worry. Let's continue. Shall we look at verse 27. And someone please read verse 27. Verse 27 of Matthew 6. Which of you, by taking thoughts, which of us, by taking thoughts, by carrying this burden of worry in our hearts every day, that because I have not been able to do this, I have not been able to do that, can make that thing that we are asking for, that is troubling us, possible? Like I said, can you add a dime to your bank account right now, by the cost of worry? No. If your children are being chased out of school, by the cost of worry, can you pay their school fees? No. There is always room for concern. You're concerned about them. You're concerned about your children. You're concerned about your paying of your bills. There is always a room for concern. But Jesus here is telling us the damage that worry can cause us. Worry can damage your relationship. Worry can damage your marriage. Worry can damage your Christian life. Worry can damage your relationship with God. This is what Christ sees. And tell 60 disciples down to tell them, even as he was going away, that they need not to worry. God creates you and me. He knows how to take care of us. This is not giving room for idleness. He's not saying we should be idle. We should sit down and cross our leg and wait and say, my provider will provide. But it says, even as we are going about that thing which he has committed to us, let us also do what? Believe in him, trust him to do the needful. When we do what we are asked to do, what God wants us to do, God will definitely do what? Do his best. When we trust him and believe in him, to see us through. He said, I will bless the work of your hand. So when we are committed to whatever he puts in our hand to do, he is committed to bless that thing. To cause that thing to do what? To put food on our table. To cause that thing to do what? To make us pay our bills. This morning, the testimonies that were given really touched me so much that, especially the one that the pastor talked about, and Brother Banji. You see, all these things are, when we begin to get our minds begin to be occupied by certain things that are not supposed to be occupied with. When we begin to think that, oh, how will I do this? How will I do this? There's no money anywhere. There's no food. There's no this. There's no that. When all these things begin, when our mind is occupied with these things, the devil will expand it. Will help us to do what? To expand it. The trouble will expand. The worry will increase. Back then, I used to like, what kind of life is this? I'm praying every day like no man's business. I'm fasting. I'm doing this. But when God opened the door, you know what happened? I began to be so much focused in my business that even as I'm talking to you right now, my spiritual life is weak because I am more committed to things I shouldn't be committed than what I should be committed to. And I'm not having any joy inside of me. God has given us room for everything. There is time for everything. Your business shouldn't take the place of God. Your work, your marriage, your children shouldn't take the place of God. It's not saying you shouldn't do good about in this life, in this present age. There is a lot of things to be worried about. Everything in short keeps us concerned. But our Lord and Savior is telling us that as long as He remains our Savior, He remains our God, that we need not do works, we need not worry. He never said that as Christians, that we are going to live a life of luxury and we are going to build mansions, occupy empires, and where people see us driving on our most expensive car, they will say, ah, that is the child of Jesus Christ. He never said so. But He said, in this world, you will do what? You will face what? Tribulations. You will have trouble. You will face problems, difficulties. He says, but no, I am with you, even till the end. I will be with you. I will guide you. I will lead you. When it seems like if that thing has wants to break you down, I will do what? I will strengthen you. I will pick you up. Just do what? Just continue to look unto me. Trust me. So He gives us reason not to worry. But as long as we are in this world, knowing that there is every need for worry. And when we also believe in the God that we serve, when we believe in the God that we serve, that He is able, more than able, to do what? To see us through. When we believe in Him, He says He will see us through. He will lead us. There will always be a way out. There will always be an open door. There will always be a room for comfort. He will encourage us. Though it seems that the economy is turning upside down, He knows His own, and He will keep His own. So He gives us this confidence that we should not worry. We should not worry. Because worry will not help us. Worry will not bring Him close to us. Worry will do what? Will make us live a life of unbelievers. It is the unbelievers that worry. We as believers, we have no cause to worry because our God is more than able to supply our needs according to His riches in the world. God knows your ultimate need. He knows my ultimate need. And there is only one thing that God has called us to, which after telling us not to worry, why we should not worry, He brings us to that point where He tells us this is what is most important in your life. This is what all the days of your life you have to live with and not this one you are living with. Whatever we have in this world today, a day will come. If somebody buys a new car today, maybe you bought a car of 10 million naira to 20 million naira. God forbid, as you're going on the way, that car crashes. And you have an accident and damages. What will you do? You look in yourself. unbelievers will have to be worried about it. But as Christians, Christ is telling us that there is something more important than that car that you have just lost. And that is seeking Him first, which will come down to pass. Verse 33. Can someone please help us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. What are all these things? If you have money and you don't have peace of mind, is that enough? Can money buy you peace of mind? If you have children and yet you are not giving them a good upbringing, they become users. Will that give you peace of mind? No. When God gives you bread to feed your children, He also makes no children. He gives them His fear to make them walk in His ways, so that they will not do what become a trouble to you, the parents. Because you are His child. And that's why He tells us you will have to do your own part. Train these children in my own way. And when you train them, if you are training them in my own way, leave the rest for me. I will not do what? Take over and do what? Guide them, lead them. So that when they go out and come back, you can always be assured that, yes, this child has not brought any trouble. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does it mean when God said, when Christ says, seek first the kingdom of God? Disciples of Christ have chosen God as their master. They have chosen Him as our master, not money. They have chosen Him as our master, not the needs of the body. They have chosen Him as our master, not to allow anything to come in between us. Amen. Seeking first the kingdom of God is not telling you that you're going to strive, you're starting to enter heaven. Because as a child of God, you are already there. Praise the Lord. But seeking first the kingdom of God, what is He telling? He says, set your eyes on Him and His glory. Set your eyes on Him. Look unto Him. Know that He is God. Know that there is nothing that can come in between you and the relationship you have with Him. Not even your body. Because one day, our mama was not like this when she was 16 or 12 or 20. But every day, no matter how you take care of this body, our age is growing, the more that you will see that we are getting old. I was not like this 20 or 25 years ago. But we can't treat that. The older we get, the older we become. Praise the Lord. So while you have got a body of like this body is not going to decay, this body, I must handle it forever. No. The things more important than that, our relationship with God. If I can't carry this body anymore, what's going to happen? Our trust, our faith. Let's every day let our faith be increasing. Let our faith be increasing. Let our trust in God be solid. That there is no wave, there is no storm that can do what? That can pull us away from the love of Christ. When we have peace in us, when we are confident that God who created us into this world and created the heavens and the earth and oversees everything that is in it and directs the affairs of all men is more than able to do us, to see us through, no matter how rough the road will be. So he said, don't worry. Seek ye first the kingdom. Let your goal be as God, help me to be stronger in you every day. Help me to see you every day of my life, in every situation of my life. Let me see you. If I can be able to stand up even when my legs are weak, to say, God, thank you that I can't even get up again. I am still believing that God who has brought me that far. I am still trusting that God who has kept, who has been with me through times. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does it mean to seek the righteousness of God? Hallelujah. They should care more and more about God. They shouldn't care more and more. We shouldn't care more and more about our own needs. To seek the kingdom of God cannot mean that disciples do not go, should try to enter. It is theirs already. It means to seek God's kingdom, the glory, power, and the rule of God more in themselves and in other people. Hallelujah. If my brother is weak, I have to help him. I have to bring him to that place of looking unto Jesus. I have to encourage him and help him to get up in Christ. When somebody is looking onto another person for help, it's like I can come to the pastor and say, sir, I need 100,000. If pastor doesn't have 100,000 to give me, I will get what? Because I have that belief that if I meet pastor, he will have 400,000 to give me. Right? But if I meet pastor and he doesn't have, and he tells me, ah, my brother, I don't have. My worry has what? Has increased. But Jesus is telling us here, we shouldn't, because with these things will make us to put our trust in man more than God. When we have prayed and nothing has happened, the next thing is we begin to take steps that we shouldn't be taking. Like unbelievers, they will go extra mile to get their needs solved. You and I are not so. We are not permitted to do that. And that's why Christ is telling us to seek first his kingdom, seek his glory, his power. Even as we are doing that for ourselves, we also do it for others. Bring others to it. Every day of our life should be about what God is doing in our lives. His grace, his saving grace to save us, to bring us out of darkness into his marvelous light, unwarning people. That the life we are living here, which is a temporary life, he has promised us an eternal life. That all these worries, all these troubles will never be. So which one do we prefer? The limited life that we have here, or the eternal life that is full of abundance that God himself has promised us? Which one should we be concerned about? He says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. And to seek the righteousness of God does not mean to seek justification. Because we have already what? Justified. That's what Romans 5:1 says. Hallelujah. But to do what? To seek to be righteous
in our personal lives as God is righteous, to have Christ's style of living that only He can produce in us. Amen. To see Him as right, to see His righteousness fulfilled in others and in our relationship with others. Those who put their trust in, those who put God first in all things will find God takes care of them and gives them all that they need. Even as Philippians 4:19 says, tells us, if you put Him first, put God first in your life, put God first in your business, in your marriage, put Him first, in the affairs of your children, put Him first. Whatever you want to do, put God first. And when you put Him first, whatever comes out of it, He will handle it. Because He knows that you are His. He will take care of you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. You should understand that God did not just create us into this world to come and live the life of this world. To come and live the life of this world. And at the end of this life, you die. And like all believers die and do not have any hope, you should understand that our life, we have hope in Christ, who has died to deliver us from the curse of sin. Because every trouble and every affliction that we are going through in this world is as a result of sin. And He that has delivered us from this curse has given us a hope that after this life, we will have an eternal life with Him. That should always be our goal, our primary concern. That after this life, beyond this life is no more. With all that I achieve in this world, if I cannot take a pin of it when I am living this world, then what is the essence of me killing myself for the things of this life? If Christ has promised me, has given me hope that I will live eternal life with Him, a life that is free of worry, free of affliction, free of stress, that He has promised me that life, what am I going to gain in this world? If I worry, if I live in fear, and if I live in worry, because my relationship with God can only be intact when I keep Him first in my life. And when He is first in my life, He will deliver me from worry. He will keep me for Himself. He will see me through every road of affliction. And He will give me joy and peace at the end. This should be our cause. And what we have to fight for in this world. God bless you.